Abhivanchitam, wishing, Brahman, O Brahma, Shreyaha, the ultimate success, Parishramaha, for all penances, Pumsam, for everyone, Mat, my, Darshana, realization, Avadhi, up to the limit of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation, I wish you good luck. O Brahma, you may ask from me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire. You may know that the ultimate benediction as a result of all penances is to see me by realization. Translation responsibly, I wish you good luck.
I wish you good luck.
O Brahma, you may ask from me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire.
You may know that the ultimate benediction,
as a result of all penances,
is to see me by realization.
Purport. The ultimate realization of the Supreme Truth is knowing and seeing face to face the personality of Godhead. Realization of the impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma features of the personality of Godhead is not ultimate realization. When one realizes the Supreme Lord, one does not struggle hard to perform such penances. The next stage of life is to discharge devotional service to the Lord just to satisfy Him. In other words, one who has realized and seen the Supreme Lord has attained all perfection, because everything is included in that highest perfectional stage. The impersonalists and the pseudo-mystics, however, cannot reach this stage. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'm the filler today. Maharaj is not giving class. So here, the Supreme Lord is offering Brahma benedictions. He's asking Brahma to ask for a benediction. And yesterday we heard that how the Supreme Lord was very pleased with Brahma, with his penances which he executed. So the Lord was very pleased. So I'll just read the translation one more time. I wish you good luck, O Brahma. You may ask from me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire. You may know that the ultimate benediction as a result of all penances is to see me by realization. So here, Lord Vishnu is offering Brahma benedictions. He's asking him to choose a benediction or to ask a benediction. Because the Supreme Lord is the provider. There's a saying, man proposes and God disposes. So we all have desires. Every one of us has desire. To be conscious means to have desires. So in the spiritual world, as we were mentioning last time, in the spiritual world, everyone desires to serve Krishna in unalloyed devotion. And in the material world, everyone desires to satisfy their senses, independent of Krishna. And in fact, even in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Urdvam Moolam Adagacham. It's that verse in the 15th chapter of the Gita. That this material world is based on desire. Urdva Moolam Adha Shakam Ashvatham Prahur Avyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Veda Saveda Vit. So Krishna says that this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world and it is based on desire. So it is compared to a reflection in the water, reflection of a tree in the water. So there Krishna gives the example of a banyan tree. So a banyan tree is a very big tree. It's one of the biggest trees in the world. Maybe not the tallest, but it certainly is quite big in the sense it has so many roots and branches going everywhere. And they are very wide also. So the material world is like that, but it is upside down. So in the spiritual world is the reality and material world is a reflection of that reality. So here everything is there like in the spiritual world, but it is perverted. And when one comes to the material world, one gets entangled. So as the Supreme Lord says, Icha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. That one is ruled by desire and hate. So because we desire the opulences of the Lord, we are in this material world. We desire to be independent of the Lord, we're here. So every living entity is ruled by desire and hate. So because of this desire and hate, we are in this material world. And we are desiring so many things. And the living entity desires the opulences of the Lord for enjoyment. But he hates the Lord. Or he hates the instructions of the Lord. Or the saintly devotees who are offering instructions. Or the scriptures. So as Krishna says in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the demoniac nature is averse to the scriptures. So the scripture is basically the word of the God, of the Lord, or the orders of the Lord. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam charanam raja. So the main instruction of the Lord is everyone should surrender unto him, giving up all other desires. But a conditioned soul is averse to such scriptures. because they tell something quite opposite, something which one doesn't like. So the scriptures tell us, and the saintly people tell us, to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. But the mood of the conditioned soul is different. So here it says, you ask from me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire. So if someone is pious, they will approach the Lord for the fulfillment of their desires. As Krishna says, there are four types of people who approach him. And Krishna says, these four types of people are pious. And there are four types of people who are averse to the Lord. So that was Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Janasukrino Arjuna Artho Arthati Jigyasur Jnani Cha Bharatarshava. The most one before that. The four types who are against the Lord. Namam Dushkitano Mura Prapadyante Naradama Maya Aprita Jnanam Asurim Bhavam Ashritaha. So there are four types of people who are against, who do not surrender to Krishna, and there are four types of people who approach Krishna. So those four types who approach Krishna are those who are desiring money or wealth, opulences, or those who want to get rid of suffering, and those who are inquisitive, and those who want to know about God, or the jnanis, those who are seeking higher knowledge. So there are four types of people who approach the Lord. So they want to get rid of distress, and others they want facilities, or they want money. So we see that those who are pious, they will approach the Lord because they have some sukriti. And even Krishna says that such types of people, they are magnanimous because they are at least approaching me. So someone who has no piety, no stock of piety, they do not approach God. They become an agnostic or an atheist. Because they think they can... Why do they need to approach Krishna or God for material facilities? Or even to get rid of distress? Or to inquire? They think by their own strength, they think they are the doers. And they can do it themselves. So they don't need a Supreme Lord for that. So we see in all... major religions of the world, people approach the Lord to fulfill their mundane desires. And one time Srila Prabhupada said that devotees were saying that, you know, that Christians don't surrender, and they have so many misconceptions, and they... But Prabhupada said, if it wasn't for them, it's easier for them to take to Krishna consciousness because they have some piety in them. Though they might not fully agree with us, they have so many material desires, but they do take up to Krishna consciousness because they have some piety. They at least accept there is a God, and they go to the church for the fulfillment of their desires. And we even see in our preaching to newcomers, people who are from some religious background, sometimes it is easier for them to come to Krishna. If they're not too much, if they're not too attached to their conceptions. So piety does help like that. So someone who is impious, they won't approach the Lord. But we have to understand that the Supreme Lord is the fulfiller of all our desires. We are not independent in fulfilling our desires. Krishna is... The Krishna factor is always there. So in the material world, the tendency is to think that we are the doer. As Krishna says, kartaham iti manyate. So the conditioned living entity thinks that he or she is the doer, is the karta. And everything is happening by their own strength and endeavor. But as we know, there are five types of doers. There's Krishna tells Arjuna in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So he tells him. He He says, adhishthanam tatha karta karanam cha prithak vidham vividhas cha prithak cheshta daivam chayavatra panchamam. So panchamam means the fifth. So there are five factors of action. So number one is the place of action, in other words, the body. Then number two is the performer, or the living entity. Then number three is the senses in the body, the various senses. And then the different types of endeavor. And the fifth is, ultimately, is the super soul. So we see for the successful execution of any activity, or even any action, there are five factors. And the ultimate is the Supreme Lord seated in our heart as the super soul. So we are situated in the body as the soul, and then we desire to perform activities, and we do that with the help of the senses. So with the help of the senses, then we come up with various endeavors. But ultimately, for the sanction of that, the Supreme Lord is required. Because the Supreme Lord is situated in the heart as the super soul, as the upadrashta anumantacha. He is situated as the witness and the permitter of our activities. So very famous example Prabhupada gives of two birds sitting on a tree. So one bird is desiring to eat, enjoy the fruits of the tree. And the other bird is just witnessing. So in the same way, we are seated in the body, and the body is, without the body we cannot enjoy. So we need this body for our enjoyment. So otherwise, like a ghost can't enjoy. That's why they haunt other people who have bodies, whose minds are weak. They try to enter them, and then they try to enjoy with their body. So the body is a means of enjoyment. So, what is the point I was making?
Two birds,
yeah. So the super soul is situated within the heart of the jivas. So we can try to do all these actions, but ultimately we need the sanction of the Supreme Lord. So from Krishna says, from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So Krishna supplies us the remembrance, what activities we need to do based on our previous karma. He gives us the knowledge how to execute those actions or activities. And sometimes Krishna even makes us forget. So with the help of the super soul, we are able to forget our previous lives. We forget so many things. So all of this is happening because of the super soul. So the conditioned living entity thinks that they are the doer. That people think, with my intelligence, with my abilities, with my bodily strength, I can do so many things. And I'm the ultimate doer. And they take credit for everything. And because they take credit for everything, then they have to enjoy or suffer. So, but one who depends fully on the super soul, he understands this in truth. They are aloof from action and reaction. So the example is given of during wartime, when the soldier goes to war, when a country is at war. So the soldier goes and fights and kills so many people, but because he or she is doing on that job on behalf of the government, they're killing on behalf of the government, they don't get any reaction. So they're not court-martialed or they're not put in jail. In fact, they're given a medal for doing that. They might get a Paramveer Chakra or Victoria Cross or something for very bravery. But if they're acting outside wartime or in the barracks or in their neighborhood, they go and kill the neighbor because they have an argument. But then that very same soldier is put behind bars because now they're acting for their pleasure. But when they're acting for the pleasure of the government, then they're given a medal. So in the same way, when we are acting for our own desires, to satisfy our own desires, then we are bound to the laws of nature. Then we have to either enjoy the fruits of that activity, or either we have to suffer. So in this way, every living entity is bound by the laws of nature, because we want to take the credit, and everyone is thinking they are the doer. The moment we think we are the doer, that means we want to enjoy the fruit of that activity. And because we want to enjoy the fruit of that activity, then we are bound. Then we have to take responsibility. Either you enjoy or you suffer. And then in this way, the cycle of birth and death continues. So this is called fruitive activities. So these fruitive activities are very deeply rooted in our heart. So in all of our hearts, this tendency to enjoy the fruits of our activities is very strongly rooted. Like, no one will go to work if they're not getting the paycheck, isn't it? Because we want the fruits of that activity. So fruit just doesn't mean a mango or an apple or an orange, but it means, or not an Apple computer. But fruit means we are addicted to whatever activity we are doing. We want to enjoy that activity. So the gross activities are, you know, as an example I gave of going to work. If there's no paycheck, why will one go? So some people say, I'm not going to work for the money. I'm just going because I like to make a difference in society. I want to do something for my country. But still, you know, money matters. If they don't get promotions or they don't get a good enough paycheck, then they won't do that work. Or if it's not, money is not the main motivation, then it is either respect in one's, they want respect out of that activity. If I'm doing this activity, I should be acknowledged. I should get some recognition. So employers, they know that. If you give your employees recognition for their activity, for their work, then they'll work even harder. And you can pay them less, but if you acknowledge their work in the form of giving a certificate or some award or recognition, then they'll work their butt off. So my cousin, like, I saw on Facebook that he put a post, and there was, you know, he was given some kind of certificate for the best employee who's worked very hard to make this software. So he said, you know, this is so good. I'm feeling so blessed. I'm feeling so good. And now I'll work even harder. He actually wrote that. So we see that because they want to enjoy the fruits of the activity, so then they have to suffer or enjoy. So in this way, every living entity is desiring the fruits of their activities. And to fulfill their desires, the Krishna factor is very important. The super soul's sanction is required. So without his sanction, there's a saying, not even a blade of grass can move without the sanction of the Lord. So Krishna is enjoying in Golok Vrindavan. But indirectly, he's in control of the material world through the three Vishnus. So Krishna is directly not involved in the material world, but through his expansion as Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, and Shira Dakshaya Vishnu, he has full control over the material world. And Shira Dakshaya Vishnu is the super soul in the heart of all living entities, even within the atom. So the Supreme Lord has so much control over our lives. So this can be quite threatening to people. This is a big privacy issue. In the West, privacy is a big thing. So Krishna is right in our heart, and he sees everything. All our desires, all our feelings, what we will to do, all our motivations. We could externally cover up so many things from devotees and others. But ultimately, Krishna is seated within the heart. He sees everything. And then he rewards us in the form of enjoyment or suffering. So here, the Supreme Lord is asking Brahma, you can ask from me any desire you want. And then he says, you may know that the ultimate benediction, hint, hint, is to see me by realization. So we would love that if the Supreme Lord comes to us and asks us, what do you want? I can give you anything. Because Krishna is the cause of all causes, and he's the supreme proprietor, and he possesses everything. He is in charge of everything. He's in full control, and he has full possession of everything. So he's asking Brahma, do you want anything? I can give you. But as we'll hear in the coming verses, Brahma, he doesn't ask for material benedictions. He inquires further. So most people, they see God as the Father. If they're pious, their relationship with God is he's the Father, and we are the children of God. So what does a child do with their father? For those of you who are fathers, they ask you, you know, Daddy, can you get me this? Can you get me that? So the relationship of a son or daughter to a father is one, the relationship of the father is one of provider. And the son or daughter is one of asker, asking. So we can see we all were children, and maybe even now, we call our parents back in India or wherever they are and said, Dad, can you send me some money? I need to get this. Or I need to buy a house, or I need to pay the rent, or whatever, I need to pay my fees. So we are always nagging our parents, can you get me this, can you get me that? And they very mercifully provide because there's affection. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord is the Father of all living entities, and he's providing them. So so many living entities, they go to church or the mosque or the temple, and they ask, my dear Father, can you give me this? Here also we see people come, they go like this, and press their nose, and they make prayers, and they're basically asking for material benedictions. As the Supreme Lord here, as it says, he's the giver of all benedictions. He gives. Okay, you want this, I'll give you. According to the karma, he gives them. And in fact, the Supreme Lord is supplying everyone their needs. So this, what's that verse? Nityo nityanam chetna chetnanam eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman. That Krishna is the maintainer of all living entities. He's the chief amongst all eternals, chief amongst all those who are conscious. And he's the supplier or the maintainer of all living entities. He's supplying them. So even an elephant who eats tons of grass or bananas, whatever, he's providing. So Krishna is providing the needs of all living entities. And those who approach him, that's not the best way to approach Krishna. He knows that. Okay, they're coming and asking me for all these things. So let it be. So even when we chant the holy name, it is said the holy name is like Chintamani, thank you. So one can get whatever one desires. So when we chant the holy name, if we desire pure bhakti, Krishna will give that. But if we desire other things, Krishna will give that also. So we have to be very careful with what we are desiring. And depending on what we are desiring, we are planting those seeds in our heart. So Bhurijan Prabhu, I remember he gave this example in the men's retreat. He said, if someone is desiring to run very fast or to become an athlete, then they are sowing the seeds in their heart. In the next life, they might end up becoming one. They might become a kangaroo or a cheetah, and they can run very fast. Fastest animal in the world, the cheetah.
Tiger.
No, tiger is not. Tiger struggles to run very fast. It's got a huge body. A cheetah runs at, can go to a top speed of 120 k's. And it sprints. So we see that according to our desires, the Supreme Lord fulfills. And the Supreme Lord is very magnanimous. One of the qualities of Krishna is that he's very magnanimous. So we see that Krishna gives a lot of things. He's very magnanimous. He gives a lot of charity. So in Dwarka, it is said that the Supreme Lord was giving so much in charity every day that he was surpassing the opulences of Golok Vrindavan. So in Golok Vrindavan, there's Chintamani, there's the touchstone, there's Surabhi cows. And the Supreme Lord was giving so much in charity, he was surpassing all of that. So the Supreme Lord Krishna would wake up every morning in Krishna's daily activities. He would rise every morning before Brahma Muhurta. So there were these... he would hear the sound of the... What's that bird?
Rooster.
Rooster, yeah, thank you. So the rooster would sing in the morning. And Krishna would hear that sound and he would wake up. So he would be sleeping with his queens, with his queen. But he was exemplifying the responsibilities of a householder. So he would wake up in the morning. Rukmini would be sleeping right next to him, embracing him. So she would be disgusted and she would be cursing the rooster. Because they're serving the Lord in that capacity. And they want to be with him. So they didn't like it. But Krishna would wake up. He would just wake up. And then he would smell the fragrance from the Parijata tree. There would be a light breeze blowing. So Krishna had a Parijata tree planted in the compound of every palace. He got it from the heavenly planets. He fought with the demigods and got it. So then a very mild breeze would be blowing. And he would smell the fragrance. And also the bees, they would smell the fragrance and they would start humming. Buzzing, sorry. And all these birds would come and it would sound like the professional sages are reciting their prayers. So that was the atmosphere and the environment. And then Krishna would smell that and then he would sit in meditation and he would meditate on himself. Just to indicate that everyone should rise early in the morning and meditate on Krishna. So chant Hare Krishna and come to Mangalarti and so on and so forth. And after that, he would take a bath. He would take a bath, get dressed. So this is that whole description. He would perform all the different rituals. And after all that, he would worship the sun god. Yeah, he would worship the sun god, offer respects to the demigods, and then he would give in charity. The brahmanas would come, and he was giving in charity to the brahmanas 13,000 in each palace. He was giving 13,054 cows in charity every day to the brahmanas, and they were not like any old cows or those of you who we wanted to get rid of. It is said that one should never sell a cow. I was hearing a lecture by Bhakti Raghava Maharaj yesterday. And he was saying, in society, three things should not be sold. Education, food, and cows. These things should not be sold. And when these three things are sold, there'll be chaos. It's topsy-turvy. So we see education is sold, the whole thing is corrupt now. So education, they're just trying to make money. It's a business. And they'll just offer courses they can make money. It's not necessarily good for the students or for the nation. Food is sold. We see in restaurants and everywhere it's sold. But ideally, it should not be sold. And cows are sold. These days, cows are also sold. They're not only sold, but they're even killed. So then Krishna used to give in charity, in donation, 13,054 cows each day in every palace. So he had 16,108 palaces. How many cows is that? let's do a calculation. So 16,108 into 13,054. That comes 210,273,832 cows a day. So this was Krishna's charity every day. Just in cows, what to speak of other things he was giving in charity. And these cows were very nicely decked out. They had gold, called, and they were had nice garments, gold ornaments and nice garments and flower garlands, everything. They were nicely decorated and they were given it to charity in Brahmanas. So we can see that the Supreme Lord is very magnanimous. He can give anything. And because he was acting as a Kshatriya, he was giving that out. So here he's asking from Brahma, you can ask for me, whatever you desire, I'll give it to you. And we see the Supreme Lord, sometimes he will test his devotees by offering them benedictions. This is a pastime of Kolavecha Sridhar. He was sitting on the banks of the Ganges and he was a pure devotee of the Lord and he was meditating on the Lord and he had a business of selling banana leaves. Was that banana leaves he was selling? But he wouldn't make much money out of it. He was making very little money and he was poverty stricken. And Lord Chaitanya would approach him every day and he would try to bargain with him to get those banana leaves. Already he was giving very cheap, but the Lord would say, no, you know, reduce the price. In India, everything is done in bargaining. If you don't bargain, you'll get ripped off. So it's ancient culture of bargaining. Everyone knows that. So even in Mayapur, you take a rickshaw, you bargain. I heard someone told me that these, you know, foreign overseas devotees go to India. So these Japanese devotees went to India and they asked for a rickshaw ride to go from the main gate till the Hulya Ghat. And guess how much the rickshaw wala charged him? 800 rupees. And they paid that. So he asked for 800 rupees and these devotees, they came to India for the first time and they gave 800 rupees. And they thought that's the normal price. So in India, if you're going, you have to bargain. So you have to bring the price down to whatever they're saying, at least 50%. But in this case, much more than 50%. It would be 95%. So we see Lord Chaitanya was bargaining with Kolavecha Sridhar, and he was saying, you know, give it to me cheaper. And he would fight every day, and, you know, big argument, and he would give it cheaper. So the Lord was so pleased with him that one day he revealed himself and he asked him, ask for any benediction you want. So that, in a sense, that was a test for him. But he said, I don't want anything, I just want devotion unto you. So we see that with great devotees, the Supreme Lord will come and test them in many ways. Haridas Thakur, he was also tested. So he was chanting Shuddha Naam and then the Maya Devi, she came as a prostitute. And she approached him. She wanted to enjoy with him. And Haridas Thakur, so he didn't get tempted by all that. So he just, in fact, she also started chanting Hare Krishna. So pure devotees, or not pure devotees, every one of us will be tested in our Krishna consciousness. And in fact, every moment we are being tested. But every now and then, a big test will come. So, the Lord gives us a test which we can pass. So we are given test and we should be able to pass it. So we are always tested in our spiritual lives. And further on, the Supreme Lord here said in the verse that you may know that the ultimate benediction as a result of all penances is to see me by realization. And Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that realization of the impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma features of the personality of God is not ultimate realization. So the ultimate realization is realization of the Supreme Lord. So we know there are three types of spiritualists: the impersonalist, those who want to see Paramatma and those who want to see Bhagavan. So Bhagavan realization is the topmost because the others are included in it. Just like if someone has $1 billion, in the $1 billion, $1 million is included, $5 million, $10, $100. So in the same way, someone who gets darshan of the Lord, someone who is Krishna conscious or has Bhagavan realization, for them everything is included in that and they don't desire any other pleasure. So they don't desire impersonal realization or Paramatma realization because it's all included in that. As I gave the example of someone who has $1 billion, if anything less than that is included in it. And we see that even Maharaj Parikshit, or Rishabdev in the 5th canto. Yeah, was Maharaj. Sorry, King Bharat. Yeah, King Bharat. So King Bharat was so much attached to the service of the Lord. We all know the pastime of Bharat Maharaj. So he was a great devotee. And he was so much attached to the service of the Lord that at a very young age, he was able to give up his whole kingdom. At a young age. So taking sannyas is not easy. It's because one is in the... Someone who's going from Grihastha life, generally they'll get attached to all the facilities and to the opposite sex. And so to cut all of that is not easy. It's very difficult. But Bharat Maharaj, because he was so much attached to the service of the Lord, he was so Krishna conscious. At such a young age, he renounced his whole kingdom. He renounced his wife, his treasury, all his animals, all the paraphernalia and the home. He gave all that up. And it is said he gave it up just as just like one who passes stool and then they're not attached to it. This is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when one passes stool, one immediately flushes it. Or if it's a compost bin, you throw. So in that way, he was not at all attached to all his opulences. He was able to give it up. That's because he was firmly fixed in his realization on the Supreme Lord. So there are many examples like that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's the example of Vritasura in the 6th canto, 11th chapter, 25th verse. There's a statement by Vritasura where he says that, "My dear Lord, by leaving your transcendental service, I may be promoted to the planet called Dhruvaloka, or I may gain lordship over all the planetary systems of the universe, but I do not aspire for this. Nor do I wish the mystic perfections of yoga practice, nor do I aspire for spiritual emancipation. All I wish for, my Lord, is your association and your transcendental service eternally." So, from such statements we can see that pure devotees, they don't want anything. So if we are given such a test, it can be quite difficult. Here's your next promotion. Or here, take this. So of course, we can take those things if they are favorable to the discharge of devotional service. But if they are unfavorable to the discharge of devotional service, then we have to reject those things, though they might seem to be very tempting at that time. And that's why we need the shelter of a spiritual master or spiritual masters who can guide us when we're going through these major phases in life. We can take guidance from them and try to apply the principles of Krishna consciousness. So this that was Yuktaharasya Viharasya. So there's this principle of yukta vairagya. So we use everything in what's that? in relationship with the Lord. We can use everything for the service of the Lord because everything belongs to the Lord. So, but that has to be guided by a bona fide spiritual master, Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion. So one cannot say, I'll use this in the service of the Lord, but actually we might be attached to that activity or that facility or that item. So that has to be guided by a bona fide spiritual master. So let's read the verse again. I wish you good luck, O Brahma. You may ask from me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire. You may know that the ultimate benediction as a result of all penances is to see me by realization. Any questions or comments? Or objections?
Kalparaksha. From any tree,
desired.
Word,
yeah.
You can get any fruit.
Any fruit. That's right. What fruit would you like today?
The last line you were saying that the ultimate realization is to see me by realization.
Hmm.
But realization means what? It's kind of God not appeared himself in front of you. And he
God not what?
Not appeared in front of you.
Appeared. Hmm.
Or it's simply by realization you felt the appearances of God.
Okay. So, what it means to see me by realization is when we see the Lord, that we understand Him, we understand His position, we understand Him in truth. That's what it... So, we can see Radha Ballabha with realization also, or we can see Radha Ballabha without realization. So, without realization means we'll see them as a statue, as a stone made of wood or a stone dressed nicely. But the difference between advanced devotees and neophyte devotees in rendering deity worship is that advanced devotees, they understand that the deity form is the Supreme Lord, is non-different. Whereas those who are not so realized will think that the deity form is a representation of the Lord. You know, like for example, if I give you my picture, that is my representation, it's not me. But the deity form is the Supreme Lord. So even when Krishna was present on this, was physically present 5,000 years ago, so many people saw Krishna, but only a handful, or very few, knew Krishna's position. So that's what it means to see Him by realization. You have to realize Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, Jai Jagannath Prabhu. I didn't get your last part. Okay, so question is, we have spiritual desires also, and sometimes it seems the Lord does not fulfill them. So yeah, we can desire in Krishna consciousness, we want to do this, we want to do that. These are all spiritual desires. But those spiritual desires have to be guided by the spiritual master, under the sanction of the spiritual master. So then we know that that's what the Lord desires. So the spiritual master is the transparent via medium of the Supreme Lord. And if we want to know what Krishna desires from us, then we have to check with our spiritual master. So we can desire, we can propose, we would like to do this in Krishna consciousness. We would like to preach in a certain way or you know, whatever service we want to do. We can desire like that, but we should check our desires with our spiritual master and authorities, and then we'll understand what Krishna desires from us. And sometimes the Lord might not fulfill some desires because he doesn't want us to do that. But we should dream, you know, we want to do this for Krishna, we want to do that. We can dream big time. Then one day Krishna might desire it if we dream strongly, if we desire strongly. If he also wants that. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. So, I'm just trying to digest this question. So, the question is, the acharyas have performed penances to see the Lord. Is that what I understand? The Brahma is performing penances to see the Lord. So it might seem, then it is also said that we should not desire to see the Lord, but act in such a way that the Lord desires to see us.
Yes.
And in that way we will see the Lord. So, yeah, answer to your question is, did you understand the question, Prabhu? Okay. So, answer to the question is, Brahma was given the instruction of tapa tapa. So, he did not desire to see the Lord. He just desired to carry out that instruction. And the result of carrying out that instruction was he saw the Lord. So he acted as you said. So don't try to see Krishna, but try to act in such a way that Krishna sees you. So because he fulfilled the instruction so nicely, then the Lord revealed himself.
Shook hands.
Yeah. So they said one should not go to Vrindavan trying to find Krishna in the bushes. There's not many bushes left anyway. So let's not go there and find Krishna. Is he in this bush or this forest? But we have to act in such a way you'll see us. Yeah. You answered your own question. In a way. Okay. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.